Praise God. Yeah. Amen. Unless your faith is firm, I cannot make you stand firm, God says. He said that. And after he said that, then he said, okay, ask me for a sign. And all of a sudden, that king became religious. And he said, oh no, I will never test the Lord. And so the Lord said, well then, I'll give you a sign. A child shall be born of a virgin. That sign came 500 years later, so the king never got to see it. And so he perhaps lost sight of it. We don't always see it. Even when we cannot see it, he is working, right? And God just simply said, unless your faith is firm. It's not hard to have firm faith. It may be difficult to always be successful, but it's not hard to have firm faith. It's not hard to keep ourselves in the love of God. This is my desire. I want to honor you, Lord. What a great song that is. Everything I say, everything I do, I want to honor you, Lord. All that is within me, I give you praise. We can always give God praise. Always we can give God praise. We can give him praise. If we don't particularly feel like praising him, which I don't understand, we should always feel like praising him. We shouldn't not desire to praise him. But it may be a labor. We may have to bring a sacrifice of praise from now on, you know, now and again. Might have to. But I think that when we decide to bring a sacrifice of praise, we don't get clear through the praise before it's no longer a sacrifice. You see, it's coming back. Coming back. Turning and returning, always returning, always returning, always returning to the love of God. Always returning to the love of God. Never letting go of the love of God. Always returning to the love of God will then cause us to love. It'll make us able to love. It makes us able to bless those that curse us and pray for those that despitefully use us. Those are just, they become the natural. They're not natural without God. You know, they just aren't. They aren't our natural inclinations, but we're no longer natural, we're supernatural. We're supernatural in Christ. And so we have a list of things that, as lovers of God, that we can just do. We can think about God. We can trust the Lord. We can tell ourselves to trust the Lord. We can tell ourselves it's possible. All things are possible with God. We can tell ourselves, I'm not seeing it, I'm not feeling it, but I know it's true. I know it's true. You see, if we don't do this, how will others see it? How will others know it? How many people have no idea of what it's like to just be in God's presence? No? They're trying. They're looking for something. We were looking for something. We were looking for something our whole lives. We just don't know for sure what we were looking for. And every day, old things pass away and we come to know things that we're looking for. We come to know something new. You know, it's interesting that Many times I hear on a couple of Bible study things that I just started listening to. I just put listening only, and they say, why won't you talk? Because they don't want me to talk. I just want to listen. And then if I have something, I will pass it on to somebody that they might receive it from, because a lot of people are still holding on to what was and thinking that what was is enough, and thinking that if they take a hold of something else, then something was wrong. It doesn't matter. Everybody's done wrong. Everybody's forgotten things, you know. But to just believe God. I just remember well. My first resistance was when I called excitedly to tell my brother I was going to be baptized. And he said, "Well, you were baptized." And I said, "I don't remember anything about it. You know, I'm not gonna risk anything." In the Bible, it says I should do this, and I want to do this. I don't know why I want to do this. I just want to do this. Well, okay. I wasn't going to hold on to some hope that gave me nothing in opposition to something that gave me everything. But so many times, people resist. You know, you think about it, you listen to Paul. Paul is Saul walking down the road to Damascus. Light knocks him down. Jesus says, "Saul, why are you resisting me? Who are you, Lord?" "I am Jesus, the one you're persecuting." Oh, that changes everything. I once had a guy years and years ago that said, "Well, you know, maybe if something happened to me like happened to Saul, I'd get all fired up too." I said, "Well, you want to go blind? Why do you have to be blind to believe what the Bible says, you know? I mean, if you want that, I'm not going to pray for you to have it, but have it your way. Have it your way." But you see, there, it's just a thing of, I don't really want to change. You know? I just don't want to change. And isn't that what crucified Jesus? That didn't want to change. And later, after Saul was transformed and the Christians were trying to figure out what are we going to do with him, because he was coming to get us, and now he's telling everybody that they need who the one who he was coming to get us for. And when he spoke to the people, they couldn't refute his claims about the Messiah. But just because they couldn't refute them didn't mean they believed them. They wanted to hold on to something else. But the young man that I asked why he was, you know, what's holding you back? And his reasoning was he didn't want to be like me. I said, "You don't have to be like me. You just have to love the Lord." You know? He thought he was going to have to quit his job and be like me. No, you just have to love the Lord. You just have to love the Lord. You have to love the Lord. The greatest commandment is you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. And oftentimes people think, "Well, how do I do that?" Just love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, with all your strength. Get closer to him, to know him. You're going to love him. And then don't forget that you love him. Because it's not that we loved him, but that he loved us. You need to remember that he loves you. And when someone loves you like he loves you, you want us to reciprocate. You know? Love. Choose love. That's what the Lord said, right, Fred? Yeah. Choose love. Just choose love. That's easy. Choose love. But it also tells you you're going to have to choose it. Because you're not always going to feel it. And you're not always going to desire it. You're going to have to choose it. God said, I set before you the way of life and death. Choose life. You're going to have to choose life in the face of death, in the face of loss, in the face of discouragement, in the face of disappointment, in the face of everything. You're just going to have to choose life. You're going to have to choose to say, okay, Lord, you said this is the way, walk in it. I don't even know where to walk. I don't even know what to think. I don't have any idea what to do. But I can rest in the Lord. I can rest in the Lord. I can rest. When you're weary, when you're tired, when you've worked a lot, you can sit down and rest, can't you? Vicki and I have an ongoing little banter because I tell her, honey, please, quit before you have to. But 9 times out of 10, or 11 times out of 10, she says, I have to sit down. And I say, honey, please, do it before you have to. Do it before you have to. When I ran the road race, I knew before I started the road race, I had decided in my heart, I will not die for pride. We got 1 block into it, and I started to explain to Jordan, Jordan, I want you to know something. I want you to go ahead and run this race. Don't wait for me. You'll die running this slow. And at this next corner, I'm going to walk. Because I wanted to do the race, but I didn't want to race. The only way to win that race was to run that race according to what's inside of me. God has given me smarts now, in some cases. But I knew beforehand, and you know, some people, well, you just didn't have enough faith. No, I had enough sense. I am going to do this, but I am not going to run the whole thing. It just isn't going to happen. Oh, I should have prayed, and I should have said, God, let me run this whole thing all the way. Well, if you have faith, why don't you just, Lord, let me win this thing. I'm not going to do that because God would say, you don't have any reason to win this thing. And you haven't been doing anything in preparation to win this thing. You're running this thing simply by faith. When they called and asked me if I would help timing it, I said, well, I said I was going to run it when I was 70, and I turned 70, so I'm going to run the race. And she said, well, I hope we don't need the ambulance for you. Because the ambulance is out there. And I said, I won't. I couldn't imagine running hard enough to need an ambulance. But as I have told some people, I was forced to run more than I wanted to because I had to get away from a little 10-year-old girl. Because she would sprint and then she would be stopped and walking. And then she would be talking and talking and talking and talking. There were 2 problems with that. One was the wind was blowing, so I didn't catch much of what she said. And the other was if I did catch something, I had to think and then I had to speak. I was not in a thinking and speaking mode. I was in a surviving mode. And so I did what I needed to do to survive. I said to myself, run. And there was still a long ways to go. But I had to keep running. Whenever I would hear those little feet coming, I would just keep running. You know? Just think if we plan to keep running. Just think if we recognize those pitter-pitter-patter of the enemy's feet catching us. Don't get me wrong, she was a sweetheart. But I knew more about her family than I needed to know by then. And it was just easier to take the pain of keeping running. Sometimes walking with God takes so much effort that it almost feels like a strain. But remember that you're straining for the finish line. You're straining for the promises. And you're not straining in your own strength. You see, if my faith is firm, then he can help me make me stand firm. If my determination is such, then he can start. And he can push. And he can pull. And he can drag if necessary to get us across that finish line. We will make it. Jesus was beaten, whipped, thorns on his head, slapped, knocked around, had to carry his cross. He had to do that. And before he went through all that, first he said to God, "Can we do it a different way?" So we can say to God, "Can this be easier?" But we are determined to finish it. Not my will, but thy will be done. Let's do this thing. Let's do this thing. He was still saving people. He was still loving people. Loving people. Father, don't hold this against them. They don't know what they've done. And they don't know what they're doing. They just don't know. But sometimes you have to really, really press to get that compassion to come up so that you can say they don't know what they're doing. And when somebody doesn't know what they're doing, then compassion, when you recognize that, you know, I mean, last night Vicki said something beautiful, and I know it, but we were lying in bed and we had just talked earlier in the night about, you know, that our getaway is pretty limited to getaway. I say we get away, you know, we get away. And in that instance, she said, what was it? I don't call something getting away. I can't remember. Oh, doctor's appointments, because we really got a lot of getaways at doctor's appointments, you know. But I went to get into bed and I said, you know, our major limitation to getting away is Michael. And she said, it's not his fault. That's so true. That's so true. You know? Like the mafia, they said, this is the life we've chosen. But you know, I mean, it's not. That was just so true. It's not. Well, you know something? People cause us grief. Situations cause us grief. Circumstances cause us grief, you know. And we just can't respond to that in kind. We need to be kind, not respond in kind. We need to be able to, like Jesus, be able to say, forgive them. They really don't know what they're doing. People who don't know the Lord don't know what they're doing. People who are holding on to the past, they don't know what they're doing. People who refuse to understand, they just don't know what they're doing. But on Friday, I had the funeral for a beautiful lady that got saved at 101 a year ago. I told you about her. And here's something that I discovered that I've been noticing I've been noticing that God is becoming more insistent on people receiving the truth. He has changed something. He has moved his direction a different way. And I just listen as he does it. But you know, those people did not come for what God had to say to them, I'm certain. But I think that they received what God had to say to them. That the love of God doesn't run out. She was 101. And it doesn't matter how kind or how sweet or how anything that somebody is, the truth is what makes them free. And all of her resistance and all of her doubt was gone because of the Word of God. So that when I simply asked, would you like to be born again? She simply said, yes. And she began to cry. And of course, then I cried with her and we prayed. And then her daughter was so thrilled with that. And God just had me tell the people, look, I have no doubt somebody in here is going to be mad today. But I'll risk all of you being mad for the one who receives the good news. The one who lays down their burdens. Gonna lay down my burden. You know, for the one who just says, yeah, I need that. Because God wants everyone to hear and he wants everyone to know and he wants us to be a voice for him to let everyone know and everyone see God's good. And his love endures forever. And that everybody needs him. And so I believe that he is tuning our ears to hear him, but also to hear what's around us and to have his words to respond with. Because we just don't know. We just don't know. You know, when Saul came out of the chute after having his sight come back to him, he just went telling people. You know, sometimes I don't know where some people get this idea. The Bible says to me that he immediately started doing that. But I had people telling me when I first got saved, well, he went away for 7 years and got the truth before he came preaching. My Bible tells me he preached the next day to all the people that he was going to represent getting rid of Christians. He talked to all of them and he said, whoa, we got this messed up. We got this messed up. And when they wouldn't receive it, he went somewhere else. But he didn't hide in the cave, man. He had a message to be told to the nations. I have decided to follow Jesus. Y'all ought to too. I was pretty smart, but I was so dumb I couldn't, you know. I couldn't do anything. You got to know I didn't know what I was doing because now I know what I'm doing. Don't you want to know what I know? People want to know. Everywhere we go, people want to know who we are. Who we are. So we tell them, I am a Christian. I follow Jesus, full of the Holy Ghost. Some people might be, oh, okay, you're a Christian. Oh, you follow Jesus, full of the Holy Ghost. What do you mean? Try it. You'll like it. People need to know. People need to know. It's not a secret that we should be keeping. People need to know. Maybe today, you're gonna be talking to somebody, and you might just hear from the Lord. They need to know. Let her rip. The devil will be right there to say, oh, you've talked to them before, or whatever, or they'd never listen, or they this, or they that. But Jesus said, hey, they don't know what they're doing, forgive them. You know what that did to the guard? Changed his life. What that did to the person that banged the nails into his hands? Wow. So every day, let the old things go. Choose before the day starts not to remember what somebody said or what hurt you. Get prepared in case it comes up. Then you'll be ready to cast down that imagination, because those things rob you of your joy. They rob you of your peace. They rob you of your confidence. They keep you all the time on the defensive. We need to be on offensive. We need to be scoring. You know, we don't know everything. You know how many people don't know that there is an armor of God, let alone how to put it on? How many people sitting in churches put on the full armor of God and they just run right past that? As I was writing the devotional, I was reminded when I was a kid, when I started out playing football, it was just shoes and pants and a shirt. And you ran at each other, and we lived. I ran into a tree down at the park, and it survived. I always ran with my head down. Missed the guy, hit the tree. So what? Let's go. And then in like the fifth grade, we got to go out for football. And they gave us all this gear. What do a bunch of fifth graders know about putting on shoulder pads? Which way did they go on? I had an idea about the helmet. I figured it should go with that face mask in front, not backwards. But most of the rest of it was like, and of course, we didn't practice with just fifth graders. We practiced with everybody. So the high schoolers got a big kick out of us little kids. Big kick. And we used to have this drill called the meat grinder. And in the meat grinder, you lined up everybody on a 5-yard line. 5 and 10. All the way around the field. And when it was your turn, you went through the meat grinder. Every 5 yards, somebody was tackling you. And of course, before you ran through to get tackled, you tackled everybody that came at you from your 5-yard line. High school, junior high, and fifth grade, all in one thing, you know? I can handle those junior high guys, but when it got to the high school, they were a little big. And they would just play with you, you know? But still, I think I was glad to have pads in. But I learned how to put them on. Because you had to put them on to play. And this is the thing that the Lord says, put on the full armor of God. When you've done everything to stand, just stand. Stand in your trust for God. Stand in your love for God. Stand in your confidence for God. It's not hard to think about God. It's not hard to love God. It's not hard to, it just isn't hard. It's not difficult. The devil tells people it's difficult. Well, this is just hard, you know. It's just, this faith walk is just too hard. It's not too hard. You're not doing it. God's doing it. If you can just keep your faith firm, I can make you stand firm. Well, we can do that. I can do that. You know? Stand here and guard this gate. You know? Shut the door. Keep out the devil. Set your heart to seek the Lord. If you're confused, seek the Lord. If you're mad, seek the Lord. No matter what, if we will seek the Lord, if we will choose to love. And if we can't choose to love what's coming at us, we can choose to love God. And in loving God, it rubs off. Because when we're loving God, hate just isn't there. When we're loving God, bitterness is held at bay. When we're loving God, those things that come against us, they're held back. I just love God. I'm just going to love God. It's not difficult. Don't let the enemy tell you it's difficult. It's easy to love God. If you can believe that all things are possible, to those that believe, it's not difficult to believe. It's not difficult to abide in Christ because he entreats us. He welcomes us. He's our safety net. He's our ever-present help in time of trouble. Even if we can't see a way, he can. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face, and the cares of this world will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. You are good, Lord, and we can keep our faith firm so you can help us to stand firm. Put us in places, bring places to us so that we can declare the goodness of God in the land of the living. We ask this in Jesus' name.